Eugene Peterson is a Christian writer, and the work that he is most famous for is The Message. And maybe you've heard of The Message, maybe you've read The Message. It's a paraphrase of the entire Bible. Eugene Peterson was a preacher, and he was trying to find a way to help his church family be in the Word more than what they were. And so he began to paraphrase the Bible into everyday English language. And that's where The Message has come from. And Eugene Peterson tells a story of his run-in with a bully when he was in the third grade. Eugene was third grade, Garrison Johns was in the fourth grade, and I want to quote to you from Eugene Peterson and let him tell the story to you. He says, about the third day in school, Garrison discovered me. I had been taught in Sunday school not to fight and so had never learned to use my fist. Instead, I learned how to memorize scripture, such as, bless those who persecute you, and turn the other cheek. I don't know how Garrison Johns knew that about me. Some sixth sense bullies have, I suppose. Most afternoons after school, he would catch me and beat me up. He taunted me with such words as, Jesus, sissy. I tried finding alternative ways home by making detours through alleys, but he stalked me and always found me out. I arrived home most days bruised and humiliated. My mother told me this had always been the way of Christians in the world and that I had better get used to it. She also said I was supposed to pray for him. Then one day something unexpected happened. I was with my neighborhood friends on this day, seven or eight of them, when Garrison caught up with us and started in on me, jabbing and taunting, working himself up to the main event. That's when it happened. Something snapped. For just a moment, the Bible verses disappeared from my consciousness, and I grabbed Garrison. To my surprise and his, I realized I was stronger than he. I wrestled him to the ground, sat on his chest, and pinned his arms to the ground with my knees. I couldn't believe it. He was helpless under me, at my mercy. It was too good to be true. I hit him in the face with my fist. It felt good. And I hit him again. Blood spurted from his nose, a lovely crimson on the ground. By this time, all the other children were cheering, egging me on. Blacken his eyes. Bust his teeth. I said to Garrison, say uncle. He wouldn't say it. I hit him again. More blood. More cheering. And then my Christian training reasserted itself. I said, say I believe in Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. And he said it. Garrison Johns was my first Christian convert. I read that and I thought, wow, that is so funny. And it's just typical, isn't it? We all want to be a light for Jesus. We know that we should be a light for Jesus, but sometimes it's so hard. It's like something rises up within us, inside of us, and takes over, and what we say and what we do isn't what we want to say and do. It's that struggle that is within us. There's a battle that is going on inside of us. Paul had the same battle, the same issue going on in his life. He said in Romans 7:19, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I bet all of us can relate with what Paul is saying here in this scripture. There is a battle going on inside of us. We want to be his light. But sometimes the darkness rises up within us. And there's this battle. And so we've got a decision to make. Either we are going to give in to the darkness, or we are going to suppress the darkness with his help. A couple of Sundays ago, Cindy and I were traveling home from church, and we were just on the north edge of Fort Scott on the four-lane highway there, heading into town. And there was this fellow who almost sideswiped us. He was in a rush. He wanted to pass this truck that was pulling an RV, and I was already in the passing lane just beside him. And instead of looking, now I don't know if he just didn't look, or if I was in his blind spot, but he just came out of his lane into our lane, right where we were. If I had not moved, he would have hit us right where Cindy was sitting. And thankfully, I saw him coming. I saw what was about to happen. And thankfully, there was a shoulder there, and I was able to just miss him. I moved into the shoulder, and he just moved right into our lane, and I laid on my horn. And I wanted to do a whole lot more than that. I wanted to give him a piece of my mind and tell him what I thought. And then there was this thought that came to my mind. It was the Lord, and he was saying to me, Kevin, instead of wanting to give him a piece of your mind, why don't you just say thank you to me? I just saved you. You see, there's this battle that goes on within us, in all of us. I was told recently about a fellow in Fort Scott that's having a very hard time given to him. This is a fellow that has given me a very hard time through the years. He's caused me a lot of trouble, and now I hear he's getting it from somebody else. And you know what my first inclination was when I heard all of that? Let him have it. What goes around comes around. But you know, that's the flesh in me. And then there was this still small voice that spoke to me as I was later thinking about that. And that voice, I know, was the Holy Spirit in me. He was saying to me, Kevin, why don't you pray for him? I didn't want to pray for him. And unless I was going to pray that he would get what he had coming to him. But there was this battle going on inside of me. And I gave in to the Holy Spirit. I prayed for him. I prayed for God to pour his grace out upon him and to help him. And you know what? It felt so good to pray that prayer and to mean it. I mean, why should I want him to have what he gave to me? It hurt. It caused me pain. I shouldn't wish that on anybody. When we give in to the Spirit and choose to let his light shine in us, it really does feel good, and he is honored. I want to challenge you today to be desperate to be his light. Let his light shine through you. He calls us to be his light. Come on, hold your light up. Sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Come on, everybody, get your light up. Come on. You're not too old for this. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. One more verse. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You didn't know you were going to be in VBS today, did you? But the core verse of that song comes straight from Scripture. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." He has called us to be his lights. I want to read another passage to you from Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is from the New International Version. It says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe." Now, I'm sure all of us have stepped out into the night and looked up to see the stars shining so brightly. It is a glorious thing to see those stars against the backdrop of the night sky. We live in a dark world, and the Lord is calling us to be his lights, to shine brightly to his glory and honor. We are to be like stars that shine brightly in the universe. Could I share with you some ways in which you might shine brightly for him? And I hope that that's what you would want to do. That you would be desperate to be his light. First of all, do everything without complaining or arguing. That's what the verse says. We just read it from Philippians chapter 2. We are to do everything without complaining or arguing. Now, I wish that verse read differently than that. I wish it read, do most things without complaining or arguing. Wouldn't that be easier? Wouldn't that be easier to comply with than what the verse actually says? Do everything without complaining or arguing. I wish it read, do some things without complaining or arguing. I think maybe I could comply to that, if that's how it read, to do some things without complaining or arguing. But do you think Paul is really serious here when he says, do everything without complaining or arguing? Is he really serious? He's absolutely serious. And we must be reminded that Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. This is not just a good suggestion by Paul. This is a command from God the Father. And it's very interesting. Jesus, as he was here on the earth, he said something very similar to this. In John 6:43, he said, "Do not grumble among yourselves." It's so easy to grumble and complain, isn't it? We grumble about the weather. We grumble about the refereeing, the coaching. Surely we wouldn't do that, would we? We grumble about the driver in front of us and the stoplights that are long. We grumble about the boss at work. We grumble about the boss at home, whoever that might be. We grumble about the boss in the White House. It's easy to step into this trap of grumbling and complaining. We grumble about the waitress at the restaurant. We grumble about the preacher. He's just not preaching long enough. We grumble about so many things, don't we? We grumble about those people who grumble. Jesus said, "Do not grumble among yourselves." If we were determined to not grumble, then surely we would shine like stars in the universe. We would be so different than most people around us, because most people around us are very adept at grumbling. Then there's that command not to argue. Do everything, Paul says, without complaining or arguing. And that's a trap, too, that we easily fall into. What is it that we argue about? We argue about politics. We argue about money. We argue about religion. We argue about parenting. And I have to confess to you, when the kids were little, this was Cindy and I's biggest issue. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight into both of us. She was spanked how many times? Zero? I thought once. Zero? She was spanked zero times as she was growing up in the home. I was spanked every day. It seemed that way anyway. I mean, I was spanked a lot by my parents, both of them. I was never put in time out one time. My parents did not know what that meant. All they knew was spanking. If I was disobedient, I was going to get whacked. They did not put me in timeout. They never put my nose in the corner. They never counted to 3 or to 10. It's just I got spanked. And so this was an issue for us. As we came together in marriage and then began to have children, this was an issue. And then there was the dinner time issues. I was raised to eat everything on my plate. And my dad would say, "You're going to eat something of everything that is on the table." And Cindy was raised differently than that, and she was more congenial with the kids, because we would sit down with the kids at the table, and I thought this was just how it was supposed to be. You're going to eat what's on your plate, and you're going to eat everything that's on the table. And so we had some differences between us. And I remember Jonathan, our son. He was the worst of the three kids. Anything vegetable, anything green, anything mixed together, he didn't want to eat. And he ended up eating a lot of deli meats, a lot of deli meats and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You can tell who won this argument between the two of us. I didn't. I was always the one to give in. She has this story that she especially remembers. I demanded Jonathan was... he's going to eat every bite on his plate. And then I got up from the table and I had to leave for a 6 o'clock appointment, and she had to be the enforcer of my demand. And when I got home, she was saying, "We are not going to do this again." You know, it's easy to fall into arguing with each other, and it's not just that which happens at home, it can happen at work, it can be a problem across the backyard fence, it can be a problem at school or in the gym. Anywhere that you get two people together who have differences of opinion, you can get into an argument. And Jesus said, do everything without complaining or arguing. How in the world do you do that? I'll tell you how. The answer is the Holy Spirit who is in us, helping us have self-control. And He's helping us realize that arguing gets us nowhere fast. And arguing is not God's way. And so we need to bend to the control of the Holy Spirit who is in us. And when we do, we will shine like stars in the universe. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's what He has called us to do. And this is convicting, isn't it? You want to be His light? Do you want to shine like stars in the universe against a black sky? We live in a dark world, and we can be His lights when we learn to do everything without complaining or arguing. Let me share with you another way that we can shine brightly for Him. And that is, number two, determined to be countercultural. In other words, don't give in to the ways of the world. Remember, the world's going to go to hell. The world is going to hell. That's what Jesus said. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. If you don't want that to be your fate, then you need to be surrendered to Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. That's going to make you countercultural. You see, Jesus was countercultural. He didn't go with the flow. He didn't blend in with the crowd. No, He stood out. He made waves. And that's why He got killed. He did not march in step with the Pharisees and all of their traditions. They didn't like that. They eventually killed Him because of that. Being countercultural is not easy for any of us, but we are called to be different from the world. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So what are we really talking about, saying that we should be countercultural? The world's mindset is here. And God's mindset is here. And they are completely opposite of one another. They are different one from the other. The world says a woman has the right to choose and make decisions about her own body. And you know what? God is totally polar opposite of that. He says, what about the rights of the little one who is inside of her? And we could talk about so many different topics, God's view versus the world's view. Most of the time, those two views are completely opposite of one another. The easy pathway for us to take is to go with the world. Because it's the pathway of least resistance. We'll just blend right in. We will go with the flow when we go with the world. And we will be in good favor with the world. But God has not called us to blend in like a chameleon. God calls us to be different than that. He calls us to be bold and to be countercultural. He calls us to be dead to the world and alive to Him. He calls us to be transformed. And when we are transformed, that's when we will shine like stars in the universe. Now, please understand, I'm not talking about being belligerent and rude and obnoxious with our worldview. What I'm talking about is being bold with the truth, but speaking the truth in love. And that leads me to my third point. As we're talking about how can we shine like stars in the universe, and the third point is this: we'll shine like stars in the universe when we love like Jesus loved. If you were here last week, maybe you had the chance to meet my brother, Tom. He was in the audience. He's quite the soul winner. In fact, he's one of the best soul winners I know. And here recently, he baptized his neighbor, Beth, into Jesus. Do you know how he reached her? By loving her with Jesus' kind of love. Their church there in Longmont, Colorado, it's a suburban north, probably 40 miles north of Denver, but it's a pretty heavily populated area. Tom himself lives in a neighborhood of homes, but out his back door, Beth has several acres of land, and she boards horses there. Has a big barn. I think she has about a dozen horses. And Tom and Terry had gotten to know Beth and communicated with her. They had a burden for her soul. And their church had a service day. I think this was just back in the spring. They had a service day. And they were encouraging their membership. Find a neighbor that you can give service to, that you can show love to, or get involved in, a community outreach type ministry. Find something that you can do in the name of Jesus and just show love to someone. And Tom decided that he wanted to offer to show love to Beth, his neighbor. He called her on the phone and said, "Hey, is there anything that you need help with? I want to be of service to you." Well, there in that area, Beth has these weeds in her pasture. And I don't know for sure what the weed is, but as it was described to me, it grows up, and if you let it be there long enough, it seeds out and it multiplies like crazy. And Tom said it's got a root on it like a carrot. It goes down deep. And Beth says, "Yeah, I got a lot of weeds in my pasture that I want to dig out. If you want to help me." And so on a Tuesday at 6:30 in the morning, my brother goes out into the pasture with a shovel. And Beth is out there too, and they start digging weeds together. And Tom said he was out there from 6:30 in the morning until about 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon digging weeds. And as they're digging weeds together, she starts talking. She starts telling her story. And Tom begins to converse with her and share Christ with her. Beth, I actually did some texting with her this last week myself. She considered herself an atheist through June of this year. She grew up in a family, a mom and a dad who was an atheist too. She had no belief in Jesus. And you know what reached her? Somebody who was loving her and taking the time to dig some weeds with her and to talk with her. We'll shine like stars in the universe when we show love to people. However that might look, whether it's digging weeds, whether it's taking some cinnamon rolls to a neighbor, whether it's you fill in the blank. Who can you show love to this week and in these weeks to come? How can you begin to shine like stars in the universe through simply the love that you would choose to show to someone around you? And do that in the name of Jesus, to His glory, to His honor, to touch someone's life. Take some time to pray about that. God, who would you want me to show love to? What would that look like? Let me give to you one more point. As we're talking about shining like stars in the universe, if you want to shine like a star in the universe, then let Him wash you clean. Let Him wash you clean. Doesn't that make sense that before we can shine for Him, we need to be washed clean from our sins? You remember what Ananias said to Saul in chapter 22 of Acts, verse 16? He said, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." We've been talking about this for a while, just 2 weeks away. November 15th is Baptism Day here at Reinhardt. Maybe if you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, it would be such a good day to let Him wash you clean from your sins. We saw a wonderful video earlier in the service where this person who was chained up from his sins, the only way those chains can be dropped, the only way those chains can be broken is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Ananias is saying to Saul, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins." Maybe you would choose to do that for yourself. Maybe you know of someone around your sphere of influence that has never been baptized into Jesus. Would you reach out to them and share the love of Jesus with them, and share with them about this opportunity that we're having right here at Reinhardt Christian Church for people to be baptized and washed clean of their sins? Jesus can wash you clean if you let Him. He's inviting you. He's calling you. He's chosen you. But as we said last week, we have to choose Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to desire to be Your light. Help us to be desperate to be Your lights. And one light can make a difference, but a whole lot of lights together can make a big difference in this whole area. And so help us. We continue to pray, Lord, for Your Spirit to move in people's lives and bring them to salvation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.